stand with us for a call of worship, but blessed be the name. Page 63, you will find it in the hymn book or on the screen.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let us pray together. You have brought us here. We are the people that you intended to be in this place today. While others may have wanted to be here because of health reasons or because of being absent, gone on vacation, and things, they could not. But you have brought us. We are important to you, and you are important to us. So help us on this Sunday that we celebrate your communion, that we hear your scripture read and we see your scripture sung, and we watch as you explain to us through your Spirit the power and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have come because you have called us. Now let us worship you with all that we are, with every ounce of our being. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Guide me thou, O thou great Jehovah, page 127. Let us continue to stand and sing.
And let's sing like you mean it this morning.
Upon us, and those who confess their faults, restore thou those who were penitent according to thy promises in Christ Jesus our Lord. and grant, O most merciful God, for his sake, that we may hereafter
live godly, righteous, and sober life,
to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Please pray in silence. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Confession, O Lord, is not something we do well. Oh, we might confess on occasion to you. We might ask forgiveness for salvation. We might even come to you and try to confess so that we will feel that power of forgiveness. But confessing out loud to others, loving others in a way that shows that we are willing to ask forgiveness and willing to give forgiveness, sometimes we get another place. To learn to do that, O Lord, teaches us how to grant you something that you give us the right to grant, which is grant you to take over for us and lead us instead of us trying to tell you what to do. We do that in many ways. We also do it when it comes to those of our loved ones who are suffering because of sickness, because of the need for surgeries, because of all those places and times that we want things to work out one way and then work out another. We ask you, O Lord, this morning that we would learn to seek your will first. And that, yes, we should ask for what we want because you have told us we have not because we ask not. But we want to seek you, to find you, and to be loved by you. And to do that, we must give ourselves to you so that we can accept that love and that grace. So grant us your wisdom and your power. Grant us your strength. For those we have asked requests for this morning, O Lord, please allow healing to take place as you would see fit. Of course, we want complete healing for all of them. So you be upon them as you're upon our world and our nation. Heal us and give us your peace. And in all these things, we will give you thanks and praise, and we will lift our hearts up to you. And we offer this prayer not in our strength, but in our weakness. And we offer for the one who died upon the cross and rose again the third day, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Page 641 is the little song, Fill My Cup, Lord. It's one of the beautiful songs of the church that takes us to this time of communion and fills us in it. Well, actually, we'll sing it twice. It is not long. Let us sing it twice to be part of this one worship as we sing, Fill My Cup, Lord. Let us stand and sing together.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
You may be seated. We ask our usher to come forward this time, please. Let us pray together. The cup has been filled. The bread is ready. Our cups are struggling at times, but we are in need and ready. We praise you for the gifts. Now let us give of ourselves totally. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Settle accounts with his slaves. When he began this reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, the lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father, who also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Forgiveness. Now there's a word. One that I think we struggle with at times. One that I believe we're not sure that we can always give, and one that I believe that we are grateful for the forgiveness we have received. May we this day hear you and forgive as you have forgiven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verses 23 and through 35 that we have in Matthew is in response to the question in verse 21 and 22. So let's hear Peter's question. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church," I want you to hear that carefully, read it in your scriptures as it's written, "as another member of the church," not necessarily this church, but the church universal, those who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. "If another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, seven times, or 70 times seven." You hear it? Here's the question. How many of us need forgiveness? Anybody here doesn't need forgiveness? The perfect person in the church, please let me know afterwards. If you need forgiving, you have an ability to ask God, Jesus, to forgive you. And what does he say he will do? Forgive. In fact, we actually have this kind of reversed in that the forgiveness has already been offered. It was offered on the cross. It was offered through the resurrection. The forgiveness has already been given to us. What we have to understand is it's not forgiveness we have to seek. It is taking it and allowing it to take hold of us and let it be who we are, a forgiven person. See, because it's already offered, we just have to accept. Well, acceptance seems to be part of the issue of forgiveness, because we all have to take it in and let it be who we are. Well, if we believe that as gospel, as truth, as how we should run our church, not just this one, but the church, then forgiveness should be at the center point of everything we do. Well, we have two forgiveness issues in the actual scripture being read. Now, following the question, the first one is the person who owed the most. Think about it. Which one of us has sinned the most? Is there a race? Is there something we can count? Is there a number? Is there a level of sin? For those of y'all who just survived James with me in Bible study, do you ever notice that it says that if you've committed one of the sins, you've committed them all, or you're guilty of all of them, depending on which version you're reading? So we've all sinned. But there is, in some ways, a different way of thinking about sin. The first slave owed the most money. So what happens? He goes and begs and is forgiven. Well, at your forgiveness of salvation, at your forgiveness of your sins, that all of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior have went through, at your forgiveness of those sins, the sin that cleanses you has been given to you. And it can be given over and over again because it's offered, but it is a forgiveness of a sin that leads you into salvation and into eternal life. The second slave did not owe money to the master. He owed money to another slave. So he comes to seek forgiveness. Now the church, us, are supposed to give 70 times 7. So when somebody comes to us and asks forgiveness, we're supposed to not just forgive, but we're supposed to lead that person to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We have a process of letting people know they've been forgiven, but we also have that where we tell them about God, where we tell them about who saved us, who forgave us, because our forgiveness, I can forgive you because you owe me something. I can forgive you because you've done something to me. But I cannot forgive you into salvation. I can only lead you to the one who knows how to forgive the salvation, who offered the gift, who died on the cross. I can't do that kind of forgiveness. I can only show you the one that can. The slave was supposed to forgive the other slave. He had just been forgiven. But he couldn't do that. Within his own soul, he couldn't allow that forgiveness to overtake him and change him and move him and make him something other than he was, just a slave begging for forgiveness. He couldn't allow the righteousness to overcome him and to change him and to move him and to make him one with God. He simply was happy he got his debt forgiven. We call that justification. He was simply happy it was done. But he wasn't out of the problem because he was about to be tested. And many times, friends, testing is not about getting you to do right or wrong. Sometimes, if not in many cases, testing is seeing if you know how to give the gift away that you have been given, to give away that forgiveness, that peace. Well, if you notice the story, after he didn't forgive, the slaves who were watching this went back to the master. I want you to listen to it very carefully. He went back to the master. He was summoned. And notice the term now used for him. It's not forgiven slave. The term is now called you wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? Notice the term mercy. Not only are we to offer forgiveness to people, but we're to offer mercy to those that have sinned against us, that owe us, supposedly, as this parable goes. There's supposed to be a mercy offered. Both of those gifts are supposed to be offered by us. Notice who suffered the most in this process. It wasn't the second slave who was not forgiven. It was the person who was forgiven to start out with. It was the one who had totality of forgiveness given to him. But we are supposed to offer this. The Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. Now, Jesus comes back in verse 35 and wraps it up this way, but listen to it. It's very important for us. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister, and this reading says, from your heart, from your inner being, from your very soul, you forgive people. You show them mercy and you forgive. And every one of us are supposed to do that. And the greatest test for the church and all of people who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior is learning to forgive the way Jesus forgave. Are we perfect at that? No. But have you ever stopped to think about the cross experience? In the middle of the torture, the pain, and the dying, in the middle of every bit of that, Jesus takes time in the midst of all that pain and suffering to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The great example of forgiveness is not set just in this reading. It's not set by how people act in the church or the times of the writing of the Gospels. The greatest act of forgiveness happens on the cross in the middle of death. That is our example of how to forgive. That is our example of how to act. That is our example of who we should be. I don't know if you ever noticed that the person that suffers the most when forgiveness is not given, in many cases, is the person who is supposed to forgive, not the one who did the sin, as seen in the example of this reading. Some of the burdens we carry around are carried around because we haven't let things go and forgiven people of what they've done to us or how they've acted towards us or of our family. We carry them around in us and we can't let go of it. We suffer the most. Now one could say, well, the slave that didn't forgive, he's really suffering, and that is exactly the point. Look how he ends up. Look where he ends up. Being tortured till he's paid the debt. It's amazing for us to think about how that works. And when we look at communion, and as we see the communion that will unfold in just a moment, and we listen to the words, and we say the Lord's Prayer, and we take the bread and the juice. One of the greatest acts of forgiveness that's ever happened is at this table. Because I would remind you of that which you already know. When we come here, the gift that's being given is being given to the betrayer and the denier. They weren't excluded. In fact, the betrayer was served first. Forgiveness is never held back. It's always given. And it's always given, we like to say, freely. And God died for us without us having to do one thing to accept that. But it's not free. It cost him his life. There's nothing free in this. It cost him every bit of who he is. You'll find on page 15 in your hymn book or on the screen, the Great Thanksgiving. We remind you that this is God's table, not ours. And that in it, the gift of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood is given. So I'd ask you to join me as we go through this time of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image. It breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like rivers and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism, his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night when he gave himself up for us, he took bread. Gave thanks to you. Broke the bread. Gave his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you, gave it to disciples and said, drink from this all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. As a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one to minister to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now allow us, O Lord, to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I ask those who are going to assist me this morning to come forward at this time, please. Body of Christ is broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ that's shed for you. This is the blood of Christ that's shed for you. Come as God leads you to come. This is God's table. Come and partake the gift given from God to each of us. Forgiven people. We have received the body and blood of Christ. The gift is given to us. Now the question is, will you fully accept the gift or kind of leave some of it out and hold on to some of those things you don't feel you can be forgiven for? You've sung the songs. You've heard the scripture. You've seen the proclamation. And you've partaken of the body and the blood. If you allow yourselves, if we allow ourselves to be made whole, this is the perfect place and time to be made completely whole. Our closing hymn is "I Surrender All." It is page 354. I'd ask that we would sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Okay, verses 1, 2, and 5, Keith, that's okay. Let us stand and sing together these three verses, 1, 2, and 5. truly do surrender all, and we've given it completely to God. Let us go in a peacefulness in our soul that says we have been saved, we have been forgiven, and we are loved by the one who created all the universe and all that we know. How much more could we possibly ask? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have worshiped. And now let us go in peace, in God's blessing, in God's love. Send us forth, O Lord. We thank you for Janie and her work and beside us today and her learning how quick I go sometimes and how sometimes I just slow down. Thank you for her work and all she does. And let us experience this moment with her as we experience this moment with you, O Lord. Give us your peace and give us your grace. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you.